Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. It's Trivia Tuesday today. Time for one question, one guess, 1 minute. Today's question, I'm a movie buff, so I had to go with this one, taking you back 45 years, but that's okay. On this day in 1978, a comedy movie featuring the favorite chant, Toga, 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 premieres in theaters. What was that movie called? Drop your guesses in the comments. Don't Google, don't cheat. Use your brain. Reveal the answer at the end of today's show. Now let's catch you up on everything you missed or might have missed around the barn. One of the most interesting Auburn stories from the weekend wasn't a recruit or a commitment. It was an old spring practice clip after NFL legend Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, shared it online. The conversation quickly shifted to just how good Auburn's defensive backs could be under DeMarcus Van Dyke.
But that's pretty high praise. I think there is a connection between Chad Johnson and DeMarcus Van Dyke. I tried to look to see if they potentially could have played together. I don't think they did, but they're both from Miami. And it could be just like anything where you're scrolling through and then something pops up and you see a connection and you're like, okay, it doesn't even matter if it's relevant, if it's new, if it's old, whatever. I'm going to show that guy some love. I remember him from back from hometown. Now, there's a little bit of an age gap, but still, I mean, I would assume the football community all from that Miami area probably know each other and support each other. So that was really cool. And kind of going back to that clip and the type of coach that DeMarcus Van Dyke is, I don't think there could be a better fit for what DJ Durkin demands from his defensive backs. I know everybody, we're all sort of in a wait and see mode or cautiously optimistic because of, you know, losing Jay Crawford, losing Kay and Lee, that were by all accounts, really good. Not even all accounts, by all of our, we saw it with our own eyes, really good, a 1-2 punch in the SEC. You lose both of those, replacing that's going to be tough. Then replacing the veteran coach that develop them, that's going to be even tougher. This is good to see. This is good to see that it's getting love from people that should know what it means to be a good defensive back. Then you throw in the talk around, we kind of mentioned this last night, you know, Zach obviously is a big DB guy, and the storyline around spring has been Gavin Jenkins. I mean, every time you see the number ones go out there, he's with them. He's young. They brought him over from South Florida. He was their guy that they recruited, that they evaluated, that they developed. So I believe Zach was the one that asked Golish about it, and he said, hey, I think he's a future NFL corner.
Hey, Auburn still has to replace two really good outstanding corners, Jay Crawford, Kalen Lee. They have to do that, so it's fair for fans to have questions about the secondary heading into the season. But when you start connecting the dots, there's plenty to like. And you know, here at the barn, we love Gavin Jenkins. And if you have an NFL receiver like Chad Ochocinco praising the coaching, you've got Alex Golish publicly calling Gavin Jenkins a future NFL corner, and you've got Jenkins already running with the first team defense despite being so young, that is exactly what you need to see. Not of the guaranteed successes, but it does suggest Auburn feels extremely confident in both its talent and coaching at the secondary position. On the golf course, man, what a weekend for Auburn on the course. Jackson Quaven's first PGA Tour win wasn't just impressive. No, you know why? Because it felt inevitable. On Village Vice, Zach and Brad explained why Auburn's former star isn't just having a great start to his career, but why golf may have, and maybe I should just say should, found the next superstar.
Yeah, it's always such a cool thing to see these kids that are labeled as elite, as the future face of the sport, and then they actually do it. And all this kid has done is win national championships, golfer of the year awards, and then it took him 3 pro tournaments. On his 3rd pro tournament, he is a PGA Tour winner. It's unbelievable. And the way they talk about him, Brad, you're absolutely right. This guy's the future of golf. And I love that you said that. It's like, it was impressive, but it wasn't surprising. And these, you know, these Jim Nantz is all over it. Jim Nantz really met the moment. I love the War Eagle that he threw in there on the CBS broadcast. But I mean, you think about the greats that were labeled great at a young age.
Yeah.
Like a LeBron.
Yep.
Where it's like, all right, all LeBron has done is live up to every single of like unreasonable level of hype and expectation he's done. Like he literally became the all-time scorer, whether you want to talk about final success or not, whatever.
But right.
Like he's
done. He's one of the five best all time for sure.
Yeah. I think he's one of the two. I personally think he's the GOAT, but whatever. Yeah. But then like you think about other folks where like, okay, all that pressure and expectation is labeled on them regardless of circumstance. Like, I remember when Bryce Harper was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as like a teenager, and then it's like he's been nothing but elite. Like he's a great, you know. Yeah. I know a lot of people around here don't like him because we're all Braves fans, but
but he is. He's elite.
He's been great every step of the way.
Right.
Was at a very young age was put unbelievable pressure and hype on him, and he's just lived up to the moment. And then like this one's a little different, but I think about like Andrew Luck. When he was coming out of Stanford, it's like, yeah, this guy's the next great quarterback. And then he takes an awful Indianapolis. I mean, he made T.Y. Hilton look like one of the best receivers in the NFL because he was just the best option that he had and took a terrible Indianapolis Colts roster to the playoffs and then, you know, retired. But just these folks that have these unbelievable expectations on them, and then they meet it, and then it's just like, oh, this does happen from time to time. And when it does, it's really special. And yesterday just felt special. And the fact that the score bug at the bottom had him right above Scottie Scheffler, I think it made it just that much better.
Every now and again, a prospect arrives within possible expectations. LeBron James, Derek Jeter, we've seen it happen time in and time out, but most fall short. Some have great careers, but the truly special ones somehow live up to every bit of the hype. So far, that's what makes Jackson Quaven's story so remarkable. He was the number one amateur. He won national championships. He's won every single major college award you could ask for, more than once in some cases. And then three tournaments into his professional career, he's already holding a PGA Tour trophy. That is not normal, folks. That's exceptional. If this is how his professional career starts, it's exciting to think about what is next for the next 5-10 years could look like for him. And it's not just for Jackson, but for Auburn Golf as a program. And we'll see what that means on the recruiting trail as well, because he is not shy to show his Auburn roots on the tour whatsoever. It's exciting. I personally am loving watching golf again because of Jackson Quaven. I can't wait for Thursday's first round. I'm excited. So we'll see how that one goes for sure. So what should Auburn's fans realistically expect in year one under Alex Golish? We're going to move on. Is 7-5 a successful season, or would it still leave you wanting more? 7-5 after going 5-7 last year, a bowl game with some, you know, a little bit of upside there. Would you like that? Well, on our members only show, Afternoon Delight, we saw Ben and Kyle break down why the answer may come down to one player. And yeah, you guessed it. It's Byron Brown.
And I actually really, really like that. I think you can look at 7-5 and be disappointed and it not be a total failure. I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to go with disappointed. But I think it's okay to be – I think it's okay if you're disappointed, but there's still potentially some hope in the future.
Yes.
I don't think 7-5 means there's no hope in the future.
No, that's the thing is when you say failure, you saying 7-5, I mean, we all act like that's not better than what we've seen the last three seasons.
I don't like that argument. I don't care.
Well, I don't either, but that's essentially what the fan base looks
because this situation, this roster now is not the same situation that the roster was 3 years ago. Like, this is a better situation. So right off the bat, like, if Auburn goes 6-6, hey, that's one win better than it's been.
Yeah.
You know, do you say, man, you should be happy with that. We should be happy, fist pump, because of – I hate that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So my point – in somewhat agreeing with what Mike G was saying, and some others, that, you know, 7 wins would be a disappointment, is that I think potentially I overvalue this roster. Like, potentially, I think maybe I think too highly of Byron Brown. It's really hard for me to think about.
You should. Like, that's the thing that I keep arguing with everybody that says, well, you're putting a lot of weight into it. Yeah. Like, when you look at the quarterbacks, the transfer quarterbacks that went to various teams during the offseason, he's a good get. No matter what team he would have gone to, he would have gone and started, even if it hadn't have been Auburn. If they were looking for – if LSU doesn't get Levitt and they get Byron Brown, guess who the starting quarterback in LSU is? Byron Brown.
I mean, it's fair, right? I mean, the heart of Auburn's 2026 expectations is going to be on the quarterback. We've seen it over the last couple of years. It just hasn't worked out. Peyton Thorne, we haven't seen it work with Jackson Arnold. It makes sense that we're going to put a lot of pressure on a quarterback like Byron Brown. If you truly believe that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC or the country – you know, what Alex Golish said at SEC Media Days. And then, of course, if you believe that DJ Durkin's defense is going to be one of the better units in the conference, then it's hard not to expect Auburn to take a significant step forward. That doesn't mean 7-5 would be a disaster. Maybe that could be your floor of, you know, happiness. I don't know. It would still be progress after where this program has been. I personally would not be upset with 7-5. Now, I think there would be some moments where we'd go off and say, maybe 7-5 was a disappointment to way how we got there. But if I'm looking at it as a vacuum right now, after the last 5 years we've had, 7-5 sounds pretty dang good. I'm not going to lie to you. Obviously, I want more, but I take that right now. If that was offered to me behind door number one, I'd probably take it. I probably would. There's a difference between progress and meeting expectations. If this roster is as talented as many believe, and Byron Brown is the player Auburn thinks that they are, then 8 or 9 wins should absolutely be on the table, though. Let's keep that in mind. Maybe even 10. 8 or 9, I think, is more realistic. No doubt about that. And hey, look, if Byron Brown gets him even farther, maybe wins against Georgia, wins against Alabama, then maybe we talk about him being on the Mount Rushmore of Auburn athletics. That's what we're trying to talk about next. Did Jackson Koivin get on Auburn's Mount Rushmore? Well, maybe not, but the Barnes Social Hour says the debate has nothing to do with what happened this weekend. It comes down to everything Koivin accomplished before he even turned pro.
If it's just strictly what you did in college, I think I'd put Jackson Koivin
on
the Mount Rushmore. And that has nothing to do with this weekend. I think that being a three-time SEC champion, individual champion, two-time national champion, you won essentially the college golf's version of the Heisman Trophy twice. You were all of the tournament, 11 tournament wins, I believe, in his career, which is crazy. Is there anything else that's comparable? I mean, I think there's probably an argument for him to be number one. But definitely at worst, number three.
I agree with that. Obviously, yes, a lot of it, you know, the hype coming off of this past weekend. I mean, he went toe to toe with the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, and, you know, the crowd, I'm sure you watched it, and those that are listening or watching saw it as well. But, like, you know, he's being interviewed and there are people chanting, "Scottie's coming," those type of things. And he was not fazed at all. He is stone cold killer, and he went out there and beat the world number one. But at Auburn, he was absolutely just stone cold killer as well. Like you said, won the Heisman of, you know, college golf twice, SEC champion, two out of three years. Yeah, 2 out of 3 years. So I agree. I think he could be in that third slot as well.
You know, I actually really like this take, and I like the key to the entire debate as well. If you're building an Auburn Mount Rushmore, then you have to judge on what happened at Auburn, not just how someone became professional, what they accomplished outside of wearing the Auburn uniform. If it happened in the pros, then I think you have to negate that slightly. I think there can be some biases shifting and maybe that what gives them the edge, but I have to give the most of the focus to what happened at Auburn. Because if it is, that's the case, then Jackson Koivin's resume is impossible to ignore. two national championships, multiple SEC titles, best amateur golfer in the world, college golf's biggest individual award twice. Then he leaves Auburn and wins that PGA Tour almost immediately with the still Auburn, you know, trails just happening a month ago, winning a natty. So whether you have him one or three or four, or maybe even slightly outside, I think you have to think that he belongs in the conversation. So with that being said, I want to leave you with this. I want to hear from you. What are your four faces on the Auburn's Mount Rushmore? And before you give me that answer, I would like you to think about it. Think about what they did for Auburn first. Don't focus on the NBA or the NFL talents. Think really hard about the Auburn side before you give me your answer. You can drop in the comments of this episode below, or if you're listening in audio, you can always hit me up on Twitter X, or just drop it anywhere over at the barn. We'd love to get to talk to you. All right, time for the answer to today's one question, one guess, 1 minute. If you guessed National Lampoon's Animal House, well, guess what? You were right. The comedy premiered July 28th, 1978, and went on to become one of the most influential comedy films of all time. More than 45 years later, people are still quoting, especially Toga, Toga, Toga. I love that movie. It's a good one. We'll have another Trivia Tuesday question waiting for you next week. A little programming note, I will be traveling, doing a little bit of a red-eye service, flying across the country, so there will not be a coffee and cornbread for Wednesday. We'll be back with a Thursday episode, and we'll be back to your regular scheduled programming, but I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again on Thursday, right here on Coffee and Cornbread.